WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Hello, everybody. This is WVUA 90.7 FM, The Capstone, and welcome to episode number 16 of the Full Court Press Podcast. My name is Jamie Martinez, and I'm joined by Alex Chasen and Nick Atkinson. On today's episode, look forward to league news and part two of the greatest players of all time to wear every jersey number. Today, we will do numbers 37 to 99. We hope you enjoyed last week's episode. Now, let's get into it.
Before we get completely started here, Jamie, I want you to tell the world a synopsis of your whole flight situation, because you were supposed to be here last week, and it was just me and Nick, which we killed it.
High five. Yeah, we killed that. We did well.
But our, you know, the guy who starts and ends the show wasn't here, so give everyone a rundown.
Yeah, so I was supposed to come back last week on Monday, and I was at the airport for like 4 hours, and it got pushed back a bunch, and at one point, I couldn't get delayed anymore because my connection from Dallas to Birmingham was like very short. So if it got delayed, I wasn't gonna be able to go. And then just randomly out of the blue, it got delayed an entire day. And so I was like, yeah, we can't do that. So my dad picked me up at the airport. We had to drive back home in the middle of a storm, like a hurricane. Got home, power was out for another 12 hours. Wednesday, I wake up, rescheduled flight, and get a text as soon as I wake up that it was canceled. So stayed home. My mom rescheduled the flight for Saturday, and Saturday was raining like real bad all day, real foggy in the sky. I thought it was gonna get delayed, because if it got delayed at all, I had a very short connection again. So luckily it all worked out. Back with the homies, back with the podcast. Super glad to be here.
We're all back in the studio. Jumping in, LeBron James has finally reached, not Kareem, but 38,000 points. He is now 316 points away. And this man dropped 48 points a couple nights ago. Yeah. Insane. LeGoat and LeCap. But right now, LeGoat, he is moving, and man is on a mission.
Yeah.
He really is. Some sad news. Chris Ford, former Celtics player and coach, dies at 74. He was a former Celtics, like I said, coach, and a three-time champion for the Boston Celtics. Rest in peace, Mr. Chris Ford. He will be missed on the Celtics family, in the Celtics family. The man nicknamed Hot Sauce, Mr. Kyle Korver, is now an assistant general manager with the Atlanta Hawks. I think this is a pretty good move for the Hawks. I mean, Kyle Korver's always been a great NBA mind, also one of the best shooters of all time in NBA history. But with that said, I mean, what do you guys think about this? We don't really know how he's going to be as a mind, but from what I just know about Kyle Korver, he's always been a smart NBA player, so I think he's going to be a smart guy in the front office.
Yeah, we'll just have to see. You know, they need some help right now. You know, they're going back and forth with this John Collins stuff, so I think it'll be good to, you know, have an NBA-like-minded player in the front office.
I agree. How about you, Jamie?
I think it's really good to have a guy who can connect with the players, especially with a team that's very dysfunctional at the moment. You know, Kyle Korver, Atlanta Hawks legend, just going to be able to connect with the guys like Trae Young, John Collins, and all them, hopefully stop that from being dysfunctional and get them right back on track.
Did you know there's a 64,000-seat stadium in San Antonio, Texas?
The Alamo Dome.
Well, if you didn't, the Alamo Dome, as the boys just said, held the Warriors versus Spurs game last Friday with a record-setting attendance for an NBA game of 63,592. If you can Google a picture, everyone listening, it's like an NBA stadium inside an NBA stadium inside another NBA stadium. It is just insane. But that thing filled up, and that just shows how just enormous the NBA fan base is, that they can fill a 64,000-person stadium. Wild.
Yeah, it's crazy to just see that. Like, on the photo, when you do look it up, it's literally, you could fit three NBA courts in there.
Really could.
It's insane.
I feel bad for the people in the nosebleeds. They're like a mile away from the action. I hate that.
Binoculars. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If that even helps. After playing just 8 games, Cameron Johnson is returning from a knee injury Thursday, so yesterday, against the Nets. I mean, this is pretty good for the Suns, who at one time were the 1 seed in the West. Now they're the 11th seed, out of the play-in tournament. How the mighty have fallen. I mean, D-Book's out, Chris Paul is out, but at least Cam Johnson's coming back, a good role player who's now probably going to be
the first option
on this team.
Mikal Bridges between them two.
Yeah, and Landry Shamet. Can't forget my boy.
Man, he was starting the other day. This is going to be really good for them.
Yeah, that was insane. But yeah, I'm glad Cam's back. Glad he's healthy. He's returning. He returned yesterday for everyone listening. And then some major news on the home front here in Tuscaloosa, and it made national headlines. Alabama forward Darius Miles and another man have been charged with capital murder in connection with an early morning shooting near campus that killed, sadly, a 23-year-old mother. Terrible news out of Tuscaloosa here. Hate to see it. Disgusting, very sad. I mean, Darius Miles is innocent until proven guilty, but I just can't imagine just the players' emotions right now, along with the coaching staff and everyone here on campus that has some connection. We have a connection to this team. We love this team. We've been to games. Jamie hasn't been to a game yet, but he'll be at the game this Saturday. But the team is so fun to watch. Brandon Miller is killing it. Shout out my boy Brandon Miller, B. Mills.
The GOAT.
The GOAT, for real. Third pick, for real. But going back to this, terrible news. And it's just one of those things that, you know, wish you could, you know, wish it just didn't happen, but it did. What are you guys' takes on this?
You know, this is something you never like to see, and especially now that it hits so close to home, it's even worse. But I think it really fueled the basketball team, as we saw the other night against Vanderbilt. I mean, Bama just went out there, got a tough win. We saw the Nate Oates interview afterwards. He was very emotional talking about it. So it's good for, you know, fueling the team to do better, especially heading into March Madness soon. You know, as for Darius Miles, we just, you know, we hate to see it. It was pretty disgusting.
Yeah. Doesn't say that any better.
Let's jump into a segment I'm going to call Trade Rumors with the man, Nick. The trade deadline is coming up Thursday, February 9th. That is about three-ish weeks away. And the next two episodes after this, and then the trade deadline episode, it's going to be all about some trades and moves. But let's get started off with the segment with Nick. Trade Rumors with Nick.
All right, so to start it off, the Raptors have been actively looking to move towards more of a rebuild. You know, they're kind of in that middle part. You know, they have been for years since the title. So they're looking for a VanVleet CP3 swap, which is kind of weird because the Suns are concerned with CP3's age, you know, the timeline, all that stuff. So what do y'all think about that one?
I'm personally not big of a fan. We talked about it earlier. VanVleet nowadays is not really the all-star he used to be. He's a real shot chucker, and you're losing a ton of playmaking by losing Chris Paul. Yeah, VanVleet's not a great defender. He shoots a lot of deep threes. He's basically like a 6'1" Devin Booker.
Kyle Lowry a little bit.
Yeah, and now Devin Booker's going to be your primary playmaker. I just don't like how it fits. You get younger, but you don't get better.
I agree.
I don't like this for either side. Honestly, I think you should just keep the teams how they are. The Raptors are kind of falling apart a little bit. I mean, I always thought they're probably going to be a play-in team still, but I think they need to sell, but not sell and then receive an astronomical contract in CP3. You're just not really going to change that much. Now, CP3 is probably better than VanVleet, but not by much to take on that contract, and you're not contending. Yep. Nothing's really going to change for the Raptors this season. Now, for the Suns side of it, same exact thing. It's just one of those things. I don't see it for either side. If any side wins this trade, it would probably be the Raptors, because I just think CP3 is better and it would fit that roster well.
Yeah.
It's just not worth it. If anything, they should just sell VanVleet for nothing, get some picks,
maybe a pick,
and start rebuilding that roster more than just middling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Another example of the Raptors trying to sell, like we were saying, Gary Trent Jr. for Jalen McDaniels, who has proven, you know, to be kind of like a raw talent guy. He's like 23 years old.
Yeah.
He's not as good as Jaden McDaniels, his brother on the Timberwolves, but he can shoot, play a little bit of defense. What do y'all think about that one?
Yeah, I think I like this one more for the Raptors. You're getting younger. Gary Trent has definitely fallen off since the finals run. Yeah. He got a bag, and he's not really doing that well. Jalen McDaniels, you're getting younger. Again, like what you said, he's a raw talent. A lot of potential there with him. So, I mean, if he even turns out like his brother, I think it's a W trade.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, Jalen McDaniels just dropped, like, I think it was like 24 points on the Celtics. We won, but he had like 18 points in the first half. And I was like, this dude has some raw ability, like Jamie was saying. So, I mean, for this trade, definitely a Raptors W 100%. For the Hornets, I mean,
you don't need him. They have too much guard play as it is.
Exactly. You know? If anything, you keep him because you need... If anything, the Hornets are way worse. You need all the talent you can get. So, I mean, it would be a great trade for the Raptors. For the Hornets, I wouldn't really get it because, I mean, you want all the young talent you can get, like I just said. So, I don't really see this trade happening either.
Yeah.
If anything, like I said, I don't know.
It's just weird.
I'd keep both sides how they are, especially for the Hornets' sake.
Now, this one, a lot of people, this one's more mainstream because, it's just all over the place because of the name. Rui Hachimura of the Wizards, they've explored serious talks. They're engaging with a lot of teams. No specific team, no specific team is, like, you know, in the talks, but, I mean, he's on the trade block.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that's just something to keep an eye on. And Jakob Poeltl of the San Antonio Spurs, him and the Celtics, that has been, like, a mutual interest for the last season. I think we've mentioned that before on
the
show. So, you know, you're the Celtics fan. What do you think about that?
I can't say some things on this podcast, but I would absolutely love Jakob Poeltl on this team. I would do many things for Jakob Poeltl to be a Celtic. It may sound weird, though. It's just Jakob Poeltl.
I mean,
he is better than Luke Kornet. Don't even get me started on Blake Griffin. Way better than Blake Griffin. We could cut Justin Jackson.
Yeah.
I mean, trade Justin Jackson, Peyton Pritchard, a first-round pick for Jakob Poeltl.
And he brings size.
He brings size.
Great defense.
He averages around 12, 9, couple assists.
Maybe a block or two.
He can space the floor. He's not shooting threes, but
mid-range.
He can space mid-range. I would love this. I already think the Celtics are championship, obviously, contenders. It's either championship or bust. That's really where we are right now in our timeline. But I think just Jakob Poeltl puts us over to we're unstoppable. Because if you have a starting center as your backup center, the sky's the limit. So
yeah,
I agree.
I like it for y'all too. Then the last one, Mike Conley for D'Angelo Russell. You know he's been.
Yeah.
Also, there's one him to the Clippers for Norman Powell and Rocco. So
that's an interesting one.
Those I don't think either will fall through. You know, the Jazz are just in a weird spot as well. So I don't know. I mean, maybe the D'Angelo Russell one gives him a new chance. But what do y'all think?
I mean, Mike Conley's been on the Jazz for a minute. He's been a great veteran guy. They're a young team. I'm not sure if they need D'Angelo Russell. He's been a bit of a diva as of late after he's heard all those trade rumors, saying a lot of stuff on the media. So I'm not sure if I want him. Norman Powell and Rocco is a bit different, though. That's two veteran guys you're bringing in. Rocco, 3-and-D guy. Love what he does. Norman Powell's got a ring. So I'm not sure if I'm 100% opposed to that one. Definitely opposed to D'Angelo Russell. But I think if you're the Jazz, you keep Mike Conley around for one more year.
Yeah, and I mean, as far as the Clippers, I think they'll win that trade if they do that. You know, they need a starting playmaker like that.
I agree. I think for the Jazz, for the first one, Conley for D-Russ, you just lose a lot of defense. And for a Jazz team that started off hot, now they're kind of back to what everyone thought they would be, you kind of want to keep as much defensive presence as you can. Like, you got Vanderbilt, Colin Sexton, young bull on defense. So if you lose Mike Conley, bring in D-Russ, who's basically just a revolving door, I don't really think that. I mean, yes, you get a lot younger and you get more offense, but I think you keep Mike Conley for that veteran presence. On the other hand, the Conley for Norman Powell and Rocco, I love that one, especially for the Clippers. They're at this point where I don't know why they don't do everything they can to, like, try to win a championship, because you have Kawhi, who I think is never going to be the same. At least
that's still Kawhi. Though.
Still Kawhi. Yeah. But then you have PG, who's playing out of his mind.
Always does.
He's a pure scorer, always has been, always will. So on that side of it, I think you do, because then you can just bump Wall to the bench, or vice versa. You put Conley on the bench, whatever it is. I think that's a good deal for them, just to try to keep them relevant and maybe make a push. But then you lose a little bit of depth. So I don't know. But if there's a trade I'd do, it'd probably be the Conley for Norman Powell and Rocco.
I agree. So now I'll get us started with our main segment, ranking the numbers for all-time players. And we got to start with number 37, Ron Artest. You know, he kind of clears that one. You know, you got Derek Fisher, Nick Van Exel, two Laker legends. But nobody's beaten Ron Artest for number 37, especially when he wore it, you know. So, yeah.
I agree. I also have a number 37. I think at the time it was Meta World Peace.
Yeah.
But if anyone hears us say Meta World Peace, Ron Artest is the same man. He just kind of had a midlife crisis and changed his name. But with that said, I got the Lakers 2010 champion Meta World Peace at number 37.
Yeah, I also got Ron Artest here. I did want to shout out Nick Van Exel. I think he's one of the most underappreciated role players of all time, really. He was a really quintessential piece of those Lakers teams back in the day. However, he only wore 37 when he was with the Warriors for like 1 year. So that's why I didn't go with him. Ron Artest, he was a beast in his day. Malice at the Palace, let's go.
Yeah. Number 38, I have the man that Michael Jordan ruined his career, Kwame Brown.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was really nothing. I mean, he was on that Lakers title squad, so he got to play with, you know, two top five players of all time, but he just did not amount to nothing at all.
At 38, I have current Phoenix Suns man on a 10-day contract and former Detroit Pistons Sabin Lee, who's averaging 10 points a game this year on his 10-day contract. Let's see if he gets re-signed back, because, I mean, the Phoenix Suns need all the help they can get. I think he's a lot better than Kwame Brown was when he wore number 38. Because I was looking at it, and Kwame Brown averaged like 1 point or whatever when he's wearing 38. So when it comes to number 38, I got to go with Mr. Sabin Lee.
38, I also want Kwame Brown, one of the biggest busts in NBA history. I didn't go with Sabin Lee only because I was looking at his basketball reference. He's averaging 10 a game, but it's only in, like, six games.
Yeah, he's on a 10 death.
I know, but, like, Kwame Brown, I mean, to go through that with Michael Jordan
and Kobe
and survive all those earfuls, so I'm going to just go with him. Plus, he's got that name value. I didn't want to put Sabin Lee up here because everybody knows Kwame Brown if you know the NBA. So
he's got two rings.
Mm-hmm. He's got rings, so we're gonna go Kwame.
Number 39. I have Jermy Grant, but
interesting.
Y'all know.
Interesting.
What?
Interesting.
No, make your point, man.
Go ahead.
Make your point.
Okay. Jermy Grant, when he wore 39, he was not all that good. If I'm missing somebody,
you're
and
missing
it's
someone.
Through my head, then I'll
they're flying right through your head.
Number 39, Jermy Grant. He wore it on the Sixers when he was with us. He was all right when he was with us. He really blossomed when he played with Westbrook on OKC. But you know, if somebody's flying through my head, y'all.
Can I give you a hint? Because I want you to guess this.
What is it?
Superman.
Dwight Howard?
Yeah. He wore, Mr. Dwight Howard wore 39 on the Lakers and your Sixers.
Yeah. I'm just.
And with that said, Jermy Grant was nothing on the Sixers, really. Mm-hmm. He was, at best, a good role player off the bench. He probably started because how bad that team was. You guys won like 20 games.
Yeah.
But with that said, at best, he was a good role player. But Dwight Howard at this time was still averaging like 8-8. I think 10 and 8 on your on the Sixers, so I have to put him at 39.
Okay. That went right through my head. That's crazy.
I also got Dwight Howard for 39. I saw Jermy Grant. I was scrolling along. I was like, yeah, it'll probably be Grant. But then I saw Dwight Howard, and that was the easy pick. Jermy Grant, like what you said, he was a role player on some pretty bad teams. It wasn't really until he blossomed in Detroit. He wasn't even wearing 39 at that point. So Dwight Howard, I'm pretty sure he has a ring in the number 39, so
he does.
So that's why we got to go with him, Superman.
Number 40, I got Sean Kemp. Surprisingly enough, he does not have this jersey retired by OKC.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, wow.
But I mean, they did only go to one finals. He was good, but he had a very short prime, around 6 years. But he was a great player, one of the best dunkers of all time. I like to go back and look at some like old clips. He was just so like he's like Zion a little bit, but taller.
Definitely.
So but I do got to show some love to Bill Laimbeer. You know the. Tank to the Bad Boy Pistons.
Mm-hmm.
Number 40, I also have Sean Kemp. He wore this number on the Sonics, Blazers, and Magic, averaging 19, 11, 2, and 1 steal at the best in his career with that number. So I'm going to give it to Sean Kemp.
Yeah, 40 is an easy choice for Sean Kemp, one of the greatest dunkers of all time. I saw Bill Laimbeer and I was looking through his basketball reference. His nickname was the Prince of Darkness, which was I thought that was pretty sick.
Yeah, it is.
But it's easily Sean Kemp here. Him and Gary Payton were unstoppable in those days, unless you were Michael Jordan. So Sean Kemp's the easy number 40 for me.
Yeah, go back to that, you know, the Bad Boy Pistons, Bill Laimbeer, he was crazy.
A menace.
Yeah.
He could shoot too.
That's like the best defense, one of the best defensive teams in NBA history.
Yeah.
But moving on to 41. We got German Jesus, Dirk Nowitzki.
Easy.
We all have him, right?
That's
easy.
Easy. I mean, Jamal Wilkes is the only other guy that could be even close to being there.
Yeah.
The 12-time All-NBA, 14-time All-Star, and one-time champ, and 2006-7 MVP. We all got him, Dirk Nowitzki.
Yeah.
I think he's probably the best guy on here for the numbers on today's slate.
Not for me.
It's close.
Not for me.
It's between him and another guy.
It's not even close for me. 41, Dirk Nowitzki, LeBron James' father, he owns him, German Jesus, one of the greatest power forwards of all time, greatest Maverick of all time. How could you not say no to Dirk Nowitzki?
Moving on to 42.
If it's not Al Horford, I'm coming for you.
Dude, I really hope.
James Worthy of the
Easy.
Lakers, you know, three-time champ, couple-time All-Star. When they won that late ring back in, like, I think 87, it was really just him and Magic. Kareem was an old man. He was not contributing to anything except for defense. It was all Magic and James Worthy back at that point. So, and I mean, of course, they had a great role player, but I do got to show some love to Nate Thurmond as well, great Warriors legend.
So for my honorable mentions, I have James Worthy, Kevin Love, Spencer Haywood, and Connie Hawkins, but I got to give it to Big Al Horford, and I'm not taking it back. No, but for real, I got James Worthy as number 42, but I do have to give the shout-out to Al Horford. We're getting that chip this year, and then, of course, Kevin Love on the Timberwolves, Spencer Haywood, and the 67-68 MVP and 68 ABA champion before they merged with the NBA, Connie Hawkins. But yeah, give it to James Worthy.
Yeah, 42, James Worthy, Michael Jordan's greatest teammate. He was unstoppable in those Lakers days. I mean, one of the great. He was probably up there as the greatest small forward of all time before LeBron and Bird. So Worthy for his time was an absolute GOAT. Got to go with him for 42.
Yeah, another one of those guys that had his career cut short.
Yeah.
But, 43, Jack Sigma. Is this one that played with Reggie Miller? Right?
I think so. He was mostly known as being a Sonic, though.
Yeah, that recalls. Right. But, you know, he was...
No, he didn't play with Reggie. You're thinking of...
Rick Smith.
See,
those are the two guys I always get... Yeah, but Jack Sigma, yes, he did play with the Sonics. You're right about that. Mm-hmm. It was back when they won their first title, their only title, as far as the Thunder goes as well, in 79. So he's a couple-time All-Star. And I do got to show love to Siakam. I mean, I think by the time Siakam's retired, this is Siakam's number.
I'm already giving it to Siakam.
Really?
You guys are gonna hate me,
I was already giving it to
Siakam. And here's why. On this career, Jack Sigma only averaged 16 points, 10 rebounds, and 3 assists. Siakam, this season's averaging 25, 8, and 6. Something Sigma could never do and won't do because he's not coming back to the NBA. Granted, he's in the Hall of Fame.
You don't know that.
Granted, he's in the Hall of Fame.
Over the Jordan.
7-time All-Star. Siakam will never be a 7-time All-Star. He is a 1-time champion. But guess what? Pascal's also a 1-time champion thanks to Kawhi. But with that said, he's a 1-time champion. Most improved player in 2018, 19, 2-time All-NBA. I just think his raw talent and his scoring ability and everything with his game, it's just a lot better than Jack Sigma. The accolades aren't where Jack Sigma is, and he'll never be there. But with that said, just his pure ability and what he's done in his career statistics-wise, it's just better than what Jack Sigma ever did.
So for number 43, I almost didn't go with either of them.
Of course.
I almost went with Terry Dischinger, the dentist, one of the GOATs of the 1950s. Was a sensational scorer in the NBA. Then he went off to the military, so that happened. Okay. He was a beast, but here I'm going to go Jack Sigma. He was a legend. He has one thing that Siakam doesn't, and that is he's in the Hall of Fame. So I'm going to go with Sigma here. Siakam's definitely number two, and I'm probably going to have him there by the time he retires.
Yeah.
But as of right now, it's Jack Sigma.
Number 44, I really don't want to put Jerry West here. I want to put George Gervin, but I guess I got to give it to Jerry West just because he's the logo. But, I mean, George Gervin, if he was on those Lakers teams with Wilt Chamberlain, I mean, they might have contested better with the Celtics. He's just more of an unselfish player, better defense, all that. But, yeah, I guess Jerry West.
All I got to say is the white mamba, Brian Scalabrine at 44, is an honorable mention. But it's got to go to the logo, Jerry West, because he is the damn logo. So give it to Jerry West.
Yeah, 44 is pretty easy. It's Jerry West. There was a couple other guys who... 44 was actually a pretty contested number. There was a few stars in there. George Gervin, Pete Maravich. But Jerry West, the logo. He's got his own award now that's going to go to De'Aaron Fox. So just got to say that real quick. 44 is the logo.
Yeah, and that's just crazy for that award to be named after him. But we'll move on. Number 45, I'm giving this to Donovan Mitchell. Mm-hmm. You know, Adrian Dantley, great Pistons player whenever they won the title, those two titles. But Donovan Mitchell, he's proved that he is the best shooting guard in the league, like we said a couple episodes ago.
Honorable mentions, Rudy Tomjanovich, A.C. Green, and Michael Jordan, because he did wear 45 for a period of time, like half a season. But with that said, not enough to overtake Donovan Mitchell for the best 45 of all time as of today. Because the man is a 3-time All-Star at only around 27, 28. But he's dropped 71 points, which puts him at number 9 all-time with most points in a single game. What do you got to say, Nick? You've been digging through your phone.
Okay, so Nick Anderson, Orlando Magic legend, he said number 45 doesn't explode like number 23 used to. Number 45 is not number 23. You know what I'm saying? Talking about Michael Jordan.
Yeah, I get it, but...
Yeah, Nick Anderson put the clamps on him, and they got...
And he switched back to 23?
Yeah, and then they lost the series still. Not the Magic, the Bulls.
I'm just saying,
Nick Anderson put the claps on.
Are you good? You done?
Yeah, I'm good, man.
All right, so for number 45, it's Michael Jordan.
What?
I knew it. I knew he was going to do it.
Last week, 2 weeks ago, for the number 12, Michael Jordan wore the number 12 for one game.
Because he dropped like 50.
And Michael Jordan wore the number 45 for an extended period of time. And Michael Jordan, under my understanding, is better than Donovan Mitchell all time. So, based off of that, I think I'm going to go with, like, the greatest scorer of all time, one of the greatest defenders of all time, and the unanimous GOAT of all time, Michael Jordan, over Donovan Mitchell.
How many times did Michael Jordan drop 71?
Yeah, but how many scoring titles does Donovan Mitchell have?
How many rings does Donovan Mitchell have?
How many Defensive Player of the Years does Donovan Mitchell have? So I don't want to hear 71 points, because Michael Jordan has 69. He was only two off. But I don't hear all of that.
Grand.
He has Evan Mobley. Evan Mobley's better than Scottie Pippen.
Michael Jordan only wore it for like
3 months.
And he wore number 12 for one game, and you still decided to put him there.
Yeah, because he dropped 50 in it.
Yeah, but 45, he still did a lot better than Donovan Mitchell ever was.
By Nick Anderson.
Oh, gosh, Nick Anderson. Yeah, and Donovan Mitchell got locked up by Davion Mitchell earlier this year, so I don't want to hear it.
Okay.
Michael Jordan.
He's on his downfall. He's going to come and score 70.
Number 45.
But,
yeah, he ain't doing that.
46, Aaron Baines.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. The one-time champion. Former Celtic legend. Gotta give that to Aaron Baines, yeah. Shout out Australia.
Yeah, 46 is Aaron Baines. I'm pretty sure I saw a clip of him like 2 years ago when he was on the Suns where he had like 6 threes and a half. Like, there was just one night Aaron Baines went crazy. Number 46, it was a very irrelevant number. So 46, Aaron Baines was the only like notable guy of 46. So it's an easy one.
Real quick before we keep going into these numbers, as we get later in here, you're going to start noticing we skip a few numbers, especially in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. That's just because either no one has ever worn those numbers, or it's a player who wore it for one game, 10 games, or maybe a season, and then they never touched the NBA floor again. So we're not trying to waste anyone's time here. We're trying to keep it relevant and interesting. So you're going to hear some numbers that we skip. That's just because they're just really not important at all. Yeah. So, sorry, Nick.
We're at 47?
Mm-hmm.
47.
Yeah, I mean, this is just unanimous. AK-47, Andre Kirilenko, the only guy that's ever wore that's relevant for real. He's a block champion. Had some pretty good years on Utah, just not really, you know, anything crazy.
I also got to give it to AK-47. He used to scare the crap out of me in 2K when his face came up.
Yeah.
That's like when I first started to get into 2K. It's just this mean-looking Russian dude. He's from Russia.
Something like that.
Something over there in Europe. It's near Russia. It's just he would always scare me, and then I'd rebuild the teams. It's just this mean mug with his weird-looking chopped haircut, looking like he's going to like AK-47 me. So, with that said, I do have to put him at 47, the one-time All-Star, the 0-4-5 block champion, which I didn't even know about, three-time All-Defensive, 12 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 1.5 steals, and 1.8 blocks on his career.
Yeah, 47's an easy one, one of the coolest nicknames ever, and if it weren't for injuries, he would have been a 3-and-D superstar. He would have, I think, been a lot better all-time. Andre Kirilenko, one of the greatest NBA 2K players of all time, one of the best defenders of his time. Andre Kirilenko is an easy one.
So for 48, this is another number really weird.
Yeah.
I got Walt Gilmore. At first I thought it was like Artis Gilmore or something, but it's not. It's just some random dude that had one season averaging 2.1 points per game and 3 rebounds. So
I got Nazir Muhammad on the Bulls with 3 seasons, 2 points, 2.5 rebounds. Pretty irrelevant as well.
Yeah, but he was pretty decent. Yeah.
He played 3 seasons with the Bulls, yeah. So I got to give it to Nazir Muhammad.
Yeah, I got Nazir Muhammad too. I like the way his name is spelled, N-A-Z-R. It's the only reason I picked him. So yeah, give me Nazir Muhammad.
49, I have Shaden Anderson. He won the title with the Heat back in 2006, and he was actually pretty good. He went to the finals with the Jazz as well in 1996. Just a good 3-and-D role player guy. That's all really all about him.
I also got the guy who got carried by Shaq and D-Wade in 2006. Give me Shaden Anderson as well. Averaged 3.4 points, 2.5 rebounds. Hey, he's like a Udon probably on that team. So yeah. I mean, Udon was on that team.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And Udon was actually
a good player.
Yeah, starter.
Yeah, so 49 is another one where there wasn't a lot of competition, so we're going to go Shaden Anderson. Had a long career. He was a good role player. He's got championships, so we'll give it to him.
Yeah. 50, I got to give it to the Admiral. You know?
Easy.
Easy, no question.
And like we were kind of going back to, you know, who's the best player on this list. This is my best player on the list. You know, one-time MVP, one-time champ. I don't know how many DPOYs he has. I know he's one of the greatest defensive players of all time. Him and Tim Duncan, that was the real that's where the name, the Twin Towers, that's where that came from, was from them. And, you know, the only other guy is really Ralph Sampson. You know, Hakeem Olajuwon's right-hand man, but, yeah.
I also got to give it to David Robinson as well. It's pretty close between him and Dirk. It could really lean either way, but I'd probably give it to David Robinson as well. In the Hall of Fame, 10-time All-Star. He has all of it. 2-time champion, 10-time All-NBA, 8-time All-Defensive, 94-95 MVP, 91-92 Defensive Player of the Year. That's what you were trying to figure out on there, right?
Who won
it? Yeah, so that was 91-92. Yeah, but I got to give it to David Robinson as well.
Yeah, we're going to go with my dad's favorite player of all time, David Robinson, the Admiral, Mr. Muscles. Absolute force of nature for his time, was the best center in the league for a very long time until Shaq came along, got a championship with Tim Duncan when he was real old. So I think David Robinson's one of the all-time greats at that center position.
I agree. 51, Reggie King.
I also got Reggie King as well.
You know, he played for the Knicks. He was decent. But I do got to Show some love to Boban Marjanovic on the Sixers. You know?
Bobby. Yeah, but I also got Reggie King. He wore this number 51 from 79 to 85. In this number, he averaged 9.6 rebounds, 1.5 assists. So solid career, solid role player. Got to give it to him.
I didn't go Reggie King. I went Boban Marjanovic.
Yeah.
I had to show love to my guy. Tobias Harris's best friend, Luka Doncic's best friend, everybody's best friend. Everybody loves Bobby. I also had Metal World Peace as an honorable mention because he wore like 30,000 numbers in his career. So, yeah, gotta love Bobby.
Number 52, I have Brad Miller. You know, he played on the Cavs, Celtics. I do want to – this is kind of a sad case. Greg Oden, if he wouldn't have gotten injured, there's no doubt he would be on here, you know, but – you know, Brad Miller was a contributing center, kind of like the Mason Plumlee of his day, a little bit.
I got a Hall of Famer at 52. Jamal Wilkes played from 74.
Jamal Wilkes.
Wilkes. I guess I missed.
Oh, I have him earlier. That's why.
I have him at 52.
He played from 74 to 86 on the Lakers and Clippers, wearing the number 52. Three-time All-Star, four-time champion, 74-75 All-Rookie team, 74-75 Rookie of the Year, and two-time All-Defensive. So I got to give it to Jamal Wilkes.
Yeah, I got Jamal Wilkes for the number 52 as well. There wasn't a ton of competition here. He's one of the Lakers' greats, and that's a lot of people. But Jamal Wilkes did a lot for those Lakers teams as a very, very, very good role player. So I got to give it to him. That's an easy pick.
53, I have Artis Gilmore, the best center for the Chicago Bulls in their history, mm-hmm. I'd say. I mean, you know, right? He was just a little too late with Jordan. They would have been a really good duo. You know, Mark Eaton, he was also really good at War 53. So, yeah.
I also got Artis Gilmore, Hall of Famers, 11-time All-Star, 75 ABA champ, 5-time All-ABA. As you can tell, it was before it turned into the NBA. But he did his thing, and he was a monster on those Bulls teams. Again, I wish he played with Jordan. He just kind of retired a bit before him.
Yeah, 53 is easy, Artis Gilmore. Mark Eaton was up there. This was a pretty tough choice, but Eaton didn't have a long enough career. He had some injury problems. Artis Gilmore, the Bulls' all-time greatest center. If he would have played with Michael Jordan, that would have been a deadly, deadly duo, even early on in his career, but got to give it to him.
Yep, for a number 54, I have Horace Grant, the only NBA player that I've had a full conversation with, but you know, he's a four-time champ, one-time All-Star, you know, one of Jordan's most underrated teammates. He's just one of those guys that does not show his impact in the stat sheet, you know. Just, he's been on so many great teams, and he's just a loyal guy. So yeah,
I also got Horace Grant as well. Nick said it the best. I mean, he's met the man, he's had a full conversation with the man, and he loves Horace Grant.
Yeah, he's one of my favorite players of all time.
Yeah, 54, I also have Horace Grant. He lives about 20 minutes from my house. And my dad also told me over break that he had a full-on conversation with Horace Grant at one point. So I don't know what's up with Horace Grant having conversations with all these people. I want to meet him now. But he was great on those Bulls teams and those Magic teams. Absolute stud for his time.
Yeah. Next up for 55, I have Dikembe Mutombo.
Cookie Monster.
He's an 8-time All-Star, 6-time All-Defensive Team, 4-time Defensive Player of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
So the only guy to ever really do that other than him is Rudy have four? Does he have four of the defender?
I think he has three.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay. So that just shows you he's the best defender of all time, probably.
Him and Hakeem Olajuwon.
Yeah, but I mean, he got the he
Rudy
got the
has
boys.
Three Defensive Players of the Year.
And he's also got three All-NBA selections. So, you know, he just never was on a good team necessarily. The best player he played with was probably T-Mac or AI. He played with AI his MVP season. You know, you go back probably about 5 years on Dikembe's career and put him with prime AI, they probably would
have. Yeah, Mutombo was old.
Yeah, they would have done much better against the Lakers. But, you know, Dikembe Mutombo is still the best player to ever wear 55.
Yeah, oh, church, my bad.
At 55, I got Dikembe Mutombo, Cookie Monster. I also have him. I'm going to have to get a sip of water after that because that was a struggle to say. But yeah, Hall of Famer, 8-time All-Star, 3-time block champion, 3-time All-NBA, and 3-time Defensive Player of the Year. One of the best big man defenders of all time. He's right up there with Hakeem and Shaq as really good defenders down low. But yeah, number 55, give me Cookie Monster.
Yeah, 55, got to go with one of my favorite players of all time. And Dikembe Mutombo.
That was a lot better.
Dikembe Mutombo. He was just an absolute monster for his time in Atlanta and Denver. And he even won a defensive player with Allen Iverson on the Sixers. So longevity plays a lot into this. And he played his defensive role for a very, very long time. He was just, he was a mountain out there, and everybody knew it. So, got to give it to Mount Mutombo, one of my all-time favorite players.
Yeah. Number 56, Francisco Elso. One-time champ, and that's all I know about him.
I also got Francisco Elson, the one-time champ with the Spurs, I believe in 2007 is when it was. And, yeah, that's all I know about him, because who's wearing number 56?
Yeah.
No one.
Yeah, 56, we got Francisco Elson, and all I'm going to say about that is, who? And we can move on.
So, number 62, I have Scott Pollard. You know, like I was saying earlier, same thing, Cavs, all that. He played with the Celtics, won a title with them. He played with them for a couple years, didn't he? He played with your Kings, too. Mm-hmm.
He played with the Celtics. No, he just played in the Celtics in 08.
Oh, okay, so just the year. Okay.
And he was on SAC most of his career from 98 to 03.
Yeah, then he went to play with the GOAT, yeah.
So he was
he didn't play with Michael Jordan.
Played with LeBron.
He played with LeBron in 07, which was the year they went to the finals and lost. Yeah. So, yeah, at 62, I got Scott Pillard. He just kind of rode the bench in 08, averaged 1.8 points. Only played in 22 games and got himself a nice fat ring.
Yeah, so real quick, I know we went from 56 to 62. 57 to 61, absolute no names or nobody even wore the numbers. So just wanted to clarify, that's why we skipped it, went straight to 62. 62, it's Scott Pollard. After going through his numbers, he played a pretty nice long career, and he put up numbers, averaging over 10 points a game for most of his years in the league, a lot of rebounds, a lot of blocks. So Scott Pollard, after looking at his stats, has to be one of the more underappreciated role players at that big man position. So I got to go with him.
I can agree with that. Just back in 08.
Yeah.
How do you feel about him being on the Kings?
I don't know much about him being on the Kings because I wasn't really. I've only been like paying attention to the Kings for a good like 5-6 years. Before that, I wasn't really paying attention to basketball. But right now, big Kings guy. I mean, hey, if he was putting up numbers on the Kings, shoot, shout out my mans.
Yeah. So number 66, I got to go Andrew Bogut, 17-18. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was the year after they won the title. The Warriors did. So I mean, yeah. Yep.
I got to go with Andrew Bogut, 17-18 Lakers. He only averaged around 2 points, three rebounds, and almost one assist. But who else is wearing 66? And with that said, I got to give him the benefit of the doubt because 2010-11 block champion. I know in a different number, he was wearing six, but NBA champ, all-NBA, all-defensive, all-rookie. He had a really good career. He just sadly was cursed with the number 66. But, hey, I'll give it to him.
Yeah, 66, I also have Andrew Bogut. Warriors legend, Bucks legend. He's not a legend, sorry. But he was cool for his time. I remember that one time he broke his arm, and it was terrifying. That was probably where his career went downhill because he was pretty promising. He was the first overall pick in the NBA draft, and then that happened. He was looking promising. Career went very downhill. Just became a role guy. So I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. There was nobody else really to wear 66. Shout out my man Andrew Bogut, Australian legend.
Yeah. Would you consider him a bust? I mean, he has two.
I just hate that injuries have to do that to guys. I would, because first overall pick, he didn't do anything in his career except for win a championship off the bench with the Warriors, riding Steph Curry's coattails. But, I mean, much like Greg Oden and a bunch of other guys, injuries just killed him.
I mean, for a first overall pick, huge bust. But for an NBA player standards, he had a fantastic career.
I agree.
He played over 10, he played 12 years in the league, roughly, averaged 10-10 on his career, 2 assists, roughly 10-10. So, I mean, for a first overall pick, big bust. But for an NBA player, fantastic career.
Yeah.
67, I have Taj Gibson. You know, he's more known for 22 with the Bulls, but
that's
you know,
what it was, 22.
He's been wearing that with the Knicks and the Wizards. You know, just decent. I liked him when he played with OKC, though, you know, but I mean, nothing else.
Yeah, I got to give it to Taj Gibson as well. One of the most underrated role players in NBA history, I'd say. He's never been on a championship team, I don't believe.
OKC was the best team he ever played.
And then on the Bulls, there were some good teams. But he's one of those players that I always thought would be a great piece, good role player for an NBA championship team. He just never really has had the chance.
Yeah,
but he's a good leader and like he's defender. A really good player, defender off the bench. In the number 67, he's averaged 9 points, 6 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal. And he's still averaging 1 block on the number 67 at his old age, so got to give the man his props.
Yeah, 67, Taj Gibson. He's one of the bald players in NBA history, so we're going to go with him. He was pretty cool with the Knicks, the Timberwolves, the Wizards, the Bulls, even though he didn't wear 67. So he's just been a cool little role player his entire career.
So this number has never been worn in a physical game, but it was worn during a media day. So number 69,
Dennis Rodman.
Dennis Rodman.
The GOAT. Yeah, so he wore number 69 for media day, but it was soon changed to 70.
And it's never been worn again.
Yeah.
Wonder why. All right, number 70, Nick, what do you got?
Dennis Rodman. I mean, yeah. He wore that with them at the Mavericks that year. He was pretty good for the Mavericks, actually. Yeah. You know, everywhere he went, he was good.
So. I also have Dennis Rodman at number 70. This was his last season, the 99-2000 season with the Mavs. His final campaign. And the man, he's going to be mentioned a few times as we finish off today's show, but Hall of Famer, two-time All-Star, seven-time rebound champ, five-time NBA champ, two-time All-NBA, eight-time All-Defensive, two-time Defensive Player of the Year. The man was a menace off the court.
Best rebounder ever.
But he was also a menace on the court.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 70 is another easy Dennis Rodman pick. He was cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, need I say less. So even though he wasn't the greatest player at the number 70, he was much more known for the 91, but we're going to give him that. There wasn't really much else competition for Rodman, so I think it's an easy pick there for the Hall of Famer.
Yeah. 71? You have 71?
Yeah.
Willie Nahles? Or
yes. Like, yeah. I have his stats pulled up right here.
Yes, sir.
So Willie Nahles. And he was drafted in 1956, way back in the day, by the St. Louis Hawks. Wasn't necessarily the greatest player coming out as a rookie, only averaged 10 points. 9 rebounds, though. He's, I'm pretty sure, 6'6", small forward. So it wasn't until his fourth year in the NBA where he started popping off. This was in New York now, on the Knicks, averaged 18 and 12. Next year, 15 and 11. Next year, 21 and 14. Next year, 23 and 13. Next year, 25 and 11. And then his career started to fall off after that, but for a good 5-6 year stint in his career, he was putting up numbers. Shout out Willie Nahles. His nicknames are the Whale and Sweet Cakes. So this dude must have been fat or something, because I don't know what it is about him. He's in the Hall of Fame. He was putting up numbers. Yeah. Shout out to my fat man, Willie Nahles.
3-time champ and 4-time All-Star. That's
yes, sir. I think I might put him in the greatest of all time conversation now.
So for number
72.
I don't have a 72.
You don't have a 72?
Who's your 72?
2006 NBA champion, Jason Capono.
Oh, ooh. My golly gee.
Yeah.
Willikers.
Golly gee Willikers.
He averaged 7 points per game.
All right. I'm good.
All right. At 73, though, Dennis Rodman, 98-99, his second to last season. Like I said, Dennis Rodman has worn some funky numbers, and he's going to be named a few more times as we, like I said, close off this episode. Just keep your eyes out, because ears out, I should say, you can't even see us. But yeah, Dennis Rodman at 73.
Yeah, 73 is Dennis Rodman. It's an easy pick. Nobody even wore the number like Dennis did, so it's an easy pick.
For number 76... Sean Bradley, the tallest player of all time. He's one of them.
No, Taco. It's George Mirason.
Taco.
Yeah, George Mirason.
Taco.
Sean, it's not Taco.
Really?
No, Taco, he was 7'5". Sean Bradley's 7'6". George Mirason's 7'7".
Yeah, okay, so Sean Bradley.
George Mirason is 6'3".
What?
No, I'm kidding. That's George.
George's Niang, George probably.
Yeah. Go ahead, sorry.
Sean Bradley, good rotational center for the Nets back in the day. Played with Richard Jefferson, Vince Carter, that era. You know, he was decent. He was just too kind of just the tall guys like that. They're never too successful. They're just the body breaks down easy. So.
Yeah, unless you're Yao Ming.
Yeah, I mean his body
broke down bad.
When he wore the number 76, it was 3 seasons with the 76ers, and this man averaged 10 points, 8 rebounds, and 3 blocks.
Ooh.
He is one of the – I was looking at his stats. He has one of the most blocks. I don't know about, on a leaderboard, but for, looks like per season, he has one of the most blocks in NBA history, averaging 3 blocks in a season, 2.5. Stuff that doesn't really happen in today's NBA as much, unless you're Rudy Gobert. Jaren Jackson Jr. is getting up there. He's been killing it. They've been calling him the Block Panther on ESPN. I saw that this morning. But yeah, give it to Sean Bradley at 76. 3 seasons with the Sixers, 10 points, 8 rebounds, and 3 blocks.
Yeah, 76 is Sean Bradley. He was in Space Jam. Mark Cuban said he's one of his favorite players he's ever had. The Mavericks back in the day were running Dirk Nowitzki next to Sean Bradley.
That's crazy.
That's pretty nasty. They were racking up a lot of blocks. He was really only a pretty good role player at best in his career, even at 7'6". So, yeah, unfortunately his body broke down on him, but he can say he was in Space Jam. I think that's a big flex.
So do you all have somebody for 77?
Yes.
No, I don't got anyone at 77.
Okay.
Let's just go to 81.
81, Jose Calderon, yeah. One of the best Raptors of all time, Just...
Wait, are you serious?
Yeah, he was.
No.
Wait, 70, we were messing. Luka Doncic.
For 77.
No way you were serious.
No way. Oh my gosh.
I was just playing along with you, bro.
He's definitely fooling. There's no way.
No way.
He's fooling.
He's not fooling. No, he's not fooling.
Yes, I am, bro. Luca for 77. Y'all know I'm just trolling.
Yeah, he's just trolling.
You know, this flew right through my head, kind of. But, you know, Luka Doncic, he's definitely there for 77. For some reason, I thought he was, I don't know what happened, really. But, you know, Luka Doncic, we see what he's doing this season. Second in the race for MVP in my head, you know. Just doing his things, kind of stat padding a little bit, if you ask me.
I for real was just like that. I was just playing along with you. And then I looked at Jamie, I was like, wait, are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
But you were just trolling, you were just trolling. At 77, of course, I got Luka Doncic. He is already the GOAT for 77. 5 seasons, and in only 5 seasons, he's a 3-time All-Star, 3-time All-NBA, Rookie of the Year. And this season, averaging 34 points a game, 9 rebounds, 9 assists. He's coming for your boy Russell Westbrook. Same with Nikola Jokic, but I'd rather see Luka Doncic get that triple-double.
I'll be fine with that.
But with that said, honestly, I hate to say it, but if the Mavericks, I've said this on a couple podcasts before, if they are out of the play-in on the positive side of that, meaning 6 and up, he deserves MVP.
Mm-hmm.
No question.
6 and up?
Yep.
Yeah, like out of the play-in on the plus side.
You think so?
Yep. Yeah.
Because play-in's only 7 and 8, right? Well, 8, 7, 9, and 10.
Yeah.
So if he's 6 and up and he's not in the play-in, I think he deserves that MVP because look who he's carrying. Of course, I'd rather see JT get it, but he's not averaging almost a triple-double, so...
It's looking like Jokic, though, to me. Not in my opinion, of course, but
yeah.
Bladder.
It's good to see Alex making progress, seeing that Luka Doncic should be our NBA MVP.
I have a caveat on it. He has to be out of the play-in on the
plus side. They'll do it. If Luka stays healthy, they should be able to do it. So at number 77, I have this year's NBA MVP in Luka Doncic. He's putting up numbers we don't see very often in the NBA. He's doing incredible things with an absolute bum squad out there. Eerily similar to Russell Westbrook back when he won his MVP. Now, I'm not sure why Nick said he's stat padding, because Russell Westbrook and Luka Doncic both had some pretty bad teams, and they're both putting up very similar seasons. So was Russell Westbrook stat padding?
Reason I said that was because people always say Westbrook stat pads. That's the only reason I said that.
So yeah. I don't think Luka's stat padding, because
he's
now
just doing everything he can.
Now he's racking up wins. He has, like, AAU players out there with him, and Mark Cuban.
It's not that bad.
Tim Hardaway Jr. Kirsten Wood is a four-star player.
For having the best player in the league, you have to have a better second option than Christian Wood.
I agree, but I don't think you can disrespect
so,
the AAU players.
They're AAU players.
Like the whole
I'm pretty sure I saw one of them bomb with Bronny James in a tournament last night.
That's
so
disrespectful.
We're going to go with Luka Doncic. This year's NBA MVP, and hopefully there's more to come.
81. Like I was, getting to before, Jose Calderon, the best Raptors player of all time, before Kyle Lowry, before DeRozan, before Kawhi Leonard. I'm just fooling, though. There's, you know, Vince Carter, Chris Bosh.
Jose Calderon.
Yeah, but Jose Calderon, one of the just better players of their kind of like mid-era, kind of like a Jeff Green to the Celtics a little bit.
Yeah,
I can see that.
So, yeah.
At 81, I also got Jose Calderon. He worked for the 2018 Cavs and 2019 Pistons. And he's really just one of the best role players in league history. That's really what he's known for. He's never been a star, never been an all-star.
Glorified J.J. Barea a little bit.
That's a taller, glorified J.J. Barea. That's a good way to put it. He's just one of the best role players in league history that real NBA fans will always remember just because he has some flashy moments.
Yeah, Jose Calderon for number 81 here is an easy pick. I mostly know Jose Calderon because of his free throw percentage. I think I saw a stat way back in the day where that dude shot like 95% one year or something. He was just a sensational role player, one of the best of all time.
Sensational.
Bro, you think your future? Jose Calderon, my Mexican brother, we're going to roll it with him.
84, I have the greatest Sacramento King of all time, arguably.
Nah.
You give it
I love.
Oscar?
Who do you have
I'm giving it to Oscar.
Chris Webber.
It's Chris Webber, though.
Chris Webber. Yeah, I also got Chris Webber.
So yeah, Chris Webber. He
wore for 1 year.
He wore for one year. But he was y'all's best player for, you know, 10.
Definitely.
10 years. Got traded for Penny Hardaway on draft day. Went to the Warriors, and then the rest is history.
Yeah, I also got Chris Webber.
Yeah, Chris Webber's the easy pick here. He didn't do much of anything in that number, but there was only one other option. Pretty sure they're like a 10-day contract player. So Chris Webber, Hall of Famer, second greatest Sacramento King of all time. Definitely can be considered for the number one spot. I thought he was for a very long time. Got to show love, though, Chris Webb.
Who's number one?
Big O or De'Aaron Fox, one of the two.
85, it's kind of the similar situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Baron Davis on the Knicks. They were actually, was this the year that they were like decent? I mean, they made the playoffs just about every year Melo was there. It was one of those years.
Yeah. Yeah, no, Baron Davis, they were good.
That's what I'm saying. He wasn't terrible when he played for him, you know?
Yeah. He was like their sixth man.
Yeah, exactly.
I got some stats on it. So we were the number 85 in 2011 with the Cavs, and then his last season, 2012, with the Knicks. On the Cavs, before he really started to fall apart, he averaged 14-2-6, and on the Knicks his last year, he averaged 6-2-5.
That's pretty good off the bench.
It is solid.
Yeah, especially for that, being that age, he was old, so, you know, shout out Baron Davis. He's the easy number 5 here, or 85, sorry.
Yeah, y'all have 86?
No.
Okay.
88.
We can move on to 88, my name twin, Nick Batum.
I'm terrible.
Really?
I'm missing someone. But it's okay.
Who, Antoine Walker?
Antoine Walker.
What?
No.
Antoine Walker in 2005, wearing the number 88, averaged 19 points, 9 rebounds, and 3 assists. When did Nicholas Batum ever average 19 points
a game?
Yeah,
I do agree with that, but...
Tell me, Jamie, when did Antoine Walker ever average more than maybe 16
points? Hold on. I don't want to...
What did I say?
You said, when did Antoine Walker ever...
Yeah, thank you. When did Nicholas Batum ever... Thank you.
I don't want to listen to you until you admit Michael Jordan's better than Donovan Mitchell. So.
Well, obviously he's better than Donovan Mitchell. I'm just saying in 45.
In 45, yeah. No, he's better than 45.
If Donovan Mitchell gets to the, what would that be, the conference finals this year, then we'll have this discussion again. But Nick Batum, he was almost an all-star number 88. That's the reason why I put him there. Antoine Walker, though, what years did he wear 88?
In 2005 with the Celtics.
Yeah,
2005 with the Celtics.
See, that's what kind of prevented me from picking him.
Yes, but in that year, let me make my case here. In that year, he averaged... Excuse me. Hold on. He averaged 16-8-3, and then on his career, he averaged 18-8-3. What's Nicholas Batum's career averages? Maybe 13?
Sounds like a down year to me.
Yeah, well, Nick Batum, his best year while he wore 88 is looking like about 14 per...
Yeah.
Give that to Antoine. 6 point percentage from 3, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, a block and steals.
Give that to Antoine.
Yeah, I'm gonna change to Antoine.
I'm staying Nick Batum, only because I'm a hater, and I'm a lot. I like Nick Batum on 2K. I had him on my team for a long time. He was a machine. Ran him at my point guard. He was awesome. But Nick Batum on the Blazers was a force to be reckoned with defensively and offensively. He did it all for those teams. He's still a great role player to this day. So Nick Batum should be in the Role Player Hall of Fame in my eyes. So
yeah.
I'm going to stick with him.
Yeah, I agree. Anything to take away from Dame? I'm just playing. Number 90, Drew.
Hold up. I want to talk about...
He has a random 89. Let him talk.
Hold on, let me...
I was looking through his thing. He got a random 89.
So at the number 89,
here we go.
Jamie's
always got to throw something out there.
I have Clyde Lovellette.
I did see that, but I just.
This dude has some crazy nicknames. He has Jelly Belly.
I saw that.
Boomer, Boom Boom, and the Whale. I'm not sure what's up with these '60s players getting named the Whale, but this dude is a Hall of Famer, one of the only players to wear the number 89, and only in 4 years of his career. He didn't average at least more than 15 a game, and his best year he averaged 23-12. So, I mean, for the number 89 to get completely discouraged when you have this Hall of Fame GOAT who played from 1953 to 1963 is absolutely outrageous. He started the number 89.
He hasn't played in almost 60 years.
So? What's that have to take? Well, like, Will Chamberlain's still one of the greatest of all time. He hasn't played in 50.
Yes, but with that said...
And when 89 is completely unused and you have a Hall of Famer sitting right here, I think you have to put him in.
He's only a Hall of Famer because he played that long ago.
Who cares? When you still... I don't care what era you're playing in. Averaging, like, 21, 20, 23, 20, 22, and 20. When you're also averaging more than... When you're averaging more than 12 rebounds in each one of those years, I think you deserve to be on the list, especially when there's absolutely no other competition. So you're a hater of elderly people who served in the military. I am convinced.
Served in the military?
Yep.
Well, all right.
Well, I apologize.
89 is great.
He was born in Petersburg, Indiana.
Great player.
Number 90?
Yeah, number 90. We have Drew Gooden. You know, he's good on the Wizards when they were... Kind of like how we were talking about earlier with that John Wall team. He also played with LeBron on the Cavs. That's where I remember him the most, 06, 07, LeBron, the championship team. But, you know, just a really good role player, kind of like a current-day Taj Gibson to me a little bit.
Yeah, I also got Drew Gooden. He wore the number 90 on the Cavs, Bulls, Kings, Spurs, Mavericks, and Wizards. On his career, he averaged 11-7-1. Very solid Taj Gibson-esque type of player. Never great, never bad, but a good role player on every team he's been on.
Also, just real quick, Clyde Lovett's a two-time MVP, three-time champion, four-time All-Star. But aside from him, number 90, I have Drew Gooden. He was just cool, didn't really do too much.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess we can ignore him because number 91, it's a lot bigger.
We got the Worm, Dennis Rodman. This is where he was the Worm.
This is where he was the best.
Yeah, you know, this is where he won three titles in 3 years, you know. Best rebounder in NBA history, one of the most... You know, just throw his body on the line type of players, you know. So, yeah, Drew.
Honorable mention to Ron Artest, made a world peace, though, because he did wear 91. And
he's more down as well.
Exactly. Yeah. But, of course, it has to go to the Worm, Dennis Rodman, because this is prime Dennis Rodman. He was better on the Pistons, but he was a three-time champ. He averaged 5 points, 15 rebounds, and 3 assists on number 91. The man will never be... People try to be like him, like a Marcus Smart or a Patrick Beverley, but no one will ever be just who he was because the NBA is different now.
I feel like only guy that relates to him is probably Draymond Green.
Yeah, I think that's the closest comparison.
Yeah, I mean, of course, Dennis Rodman went out there bringing the ball up the court and playmaking.
Yeah,
but, you know,
but defending all
just
that.
Just kind of like the attitude.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I can.
Draymond Green isn't gonna, you know,
they're passionate.
Walk out of a game and you know, go to Vegas Strip, but yeah.
91, the Hall of Famer. Dennis Rodman. It's the easy pick. This was in Chicago where he gained his notoriety as being one of the greatest rebounders and defenders of all time. This is an easy pick. Give me the Worm.
Yeah. 92. This is surprisingly one of my favorite role players of all time. Shawn Stevenson won a title with the 2011 Mavericks. Just a good 3-and-D guy. You know, he played his role really good, and that's why I like him a lot.
I also got the Shawn Stevenson. He wore this number 92 with the Mavs, Nets, and Hawks. 11 champion. Gotta give it to him.
DeShawn Stevenson is a player that sits very close in my heart. If you ever disrespect him, I will disrespect you because he was good friends with my mom in high school. He won a state championship while my mom was the team photographer. They were good friends. And DeShawn Stevenson went on to have a successful NBA career, won a championship with Dirk Nowitzki, one of the all-time great role players. So DeShawn Stevenson, in every right, deserves, you know, all of his credibility.
Yep.
Shout out.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Number 93, Metal World Peace. This is when he was Ron Artest.
This is when he was.
This is Ron Artest.
You know, this was the Rockets. I think this was like a little bit before T-Mac. Or
it was the Kings.
Well, no, 93 was whenever he was on, when he was Meta. Or
it was Ron Artest. Yeah.
But anyways, you know, just this wasn't his like best year where he was the deep boy, I don't think. Was it?
I have 93 as he was on the Kings from 06 to 08, and he averaged 19-6, 3.5 assists, and 2 steals.
Okay, yeah, this was his more offensively, you know, powered
year. Yeah, it's like when he was kind of like a 2 option.
Yeah, so, yeah, Metal World Peace.
Yeah, Ron Artest, Sacramento Kings legend, number 93. He was older, but he was still putting up numbers in Sacramento. He's been good his entire career, and this isn't the last time his name's on this list either, so I'll just stop it there because we'll mention him again.
Number 94.
I'm interested to see what you have here.
Why?
I'm just curious because only a couple options, so I'm just curious what you have to say.
94.
Okay, so for 94, I have Evan Fournier.
Okay, I have him too.
That's what I have.
Which is sad to say, but...
I mean... there was some talks for the Sixers to get him and Cam Reddish, and I'm all for that. But you know, I mean, he is who he is. I guess he's just kind of a shooting defender a little bit.
Yeah, I got Evan Fournier, 94. He wore it with the Nuggets in 13-14, and then recently with the Celtics when we picked him up for half the season in 2021. On the Nuggets, he averaged 7-2-1. On the Celtics, he averaged 13-3-3. With that said, I hate him. I wish he was never on the Celtics. It was such a dumb. I mean, we won the trade. But for what? Nothing. We didn't really do much. That was the bubble year, I believe. And I hate Evan Fournier. And don't look up his last name. That's all I gotta say.
Number 94, I also have Evan Fournier, one of the all-time shot chuckers out there. Shoots a lot, doesn't make a lot. But he's been a pretty good role player in his time. He's been on a lot of teams. He's done some things, and he's probably the best 94 because there's not much competition. Not a big Evan Fournier guy. Go ahead and say what you want
to
say, Alex.
One more thing to make my case of why I hate this man. He is now out of the lineup for Tom Thibodeau. All right? They're trying to move him and Cam Reddish, as Nick was just saying, for that money and then put Cam Reddish in because he's a good young asset. With that said, real quick, Tom Thibodeau, play Cam Reddish. He's just so stupid.
I don't know.
Or don't and move him so he can play.
Yeah, we want him. Sixers will have him.
I don't know what's taking so long.
Yeah, but this is what I was getting to with the Metal World Peace thing. 96.
96.
Was that on the Rockets? I don't know why I thought it was.
We skipped 95?
Yeah, we skipped 95.
Who's
95? You can't skip 95 because he hates him. Wants Toscano Anderson, bro.
We were talking about this earlier.
Yeah, I thought you just wanted me to skip it.
Oh, no. I'm just skipping Toscano Anderson.
Well, I love JTA. JTA is one of my favorite players in the league right now. I love the way he plays for the Lakers. I like how he, you know, he's the engine to that bench unit with Westbrook. He can go in and hit a couple threes, play defense. He's been the starting small forward for the Lakers recently while AD has been out, and I've just loved how he's played.
One-time champion as well last year with the Warriors, even though they beat the Celtics. Got to give the man his credit. On his this season's averaging 4.5 points, 2 rebounds, and 1 assist. Why do you hate the man so much?
I'm not sure what started my hatred, because in NBA history, there's only been 2 players to wear the number 95. The worst player in NBA history, Juan Toscano Anderson, and Atlanta Hawks role-playing legend DeAndre Bembry, which is why I picked DeAndre Bembry. Juan Toscano Anderson is a bum of all bums. Look at that dumb little smirk on his face. That every time I see him walk on the court, he misses so many threes. I don't think the last name Anderson should be associated with the first name Juan. It's disrespectful to the first name Juan. It's just like it's comparing I'm comparing the prestigious name of Juan to the Trailer Park Trash last name of Anderson and putting it together. It doesn't work out, which is why I don't like Juan Toscano. I don't care.
Last name's also Toscano.
I don't like that last name either. I like Tapatio more.
What was I about?
96.
No, it was about JTA. Oh yeah, JTA. Also, another thing that made me like him is what he does for his teammates. It was Westbrook had like a really struggling night, and he was like, "What helps you?" The reporter asked, "What helps you can like keep your confidence? You know, going through the games despite you playing unwell." And JTA was like, "Well, he told me to keep shooting, so like we keep our confidence." So I just, you know, I like a guy that can, you know, back his teammates up.
How many championships you got?
Huh?
How many championships you got?
DeAndre Bembry has cool dreads, so.
All
right. JTA's got a.
Yeah, Juan Toscano Anderson got some bum hair.
96.
Looking nappy.
96, what I was getting to, Metal World Peace, is where he wore number 6 on the Rockets. So this is what I was tripping about. I think this was a little bit before T-Mac or after. It was just in that little era of, you know, those Rockets jerseys that had the little rocket things going on the side. But,
best jerseys.
Yeah.
But I also got Ron Artest, Metal World Peace, 2008-2009 season with the Rockets, 17 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, and 1.5 steals. I didn't realize how much of a prolific scorer he was, because I really remember him on the Lakers, you know, like his 2 stints with the Lakers, and then he played in like a team in the middle there, because that's like when we really started to get into basketball from 2010 up, because before that, I don't really remember basketball that much. So I was looking back at these stats, I'm starting to appreciate him a lot more than just Malice in the Palace.
Yeah, number 96 is Metal World Peace here. This is the last time he's on the list. Yeah, him and Robin have been on here a few times. But one of the all-time great defenders, a very underrated offensive player, especially later in his career. However, he's going to always be overshadowed by that Malice at the Palace incident. I'll always show love for him, what he did for the Lakers, especially in the finals, just burying that 3, flashing the arms at the very end. So I think he'll always be a Laker legend for that. I'll always show love to Metal World Peace. He was a beast on the Kings. So, you know, got to show love.
Kobe never passed to him, but he did that time.
He did that time.
Number 99, I have Jay Crowder as my, I'm just playing, it's George Mikan. You know, he's one of the most iconic players of all time. I do got to show some love to him. He has a statue outside of the Staples Center down at the Crypto.com Arena. So, you know, if you have a statue outside of the second most prestigious franchise of all time, that's, you know, that's pretty good. So
he also has a drill named after him, the Mikan drill. Yep. We used to do that back in basketball practice. Do layup on the left side, right side, go back and forth. You're supposed to keep the ball in the air. But with that said, I got a few honorable mentions for you guys. And they're all former Celtics. Jay Crowder, who I love, by the way.
Yeah,
you do. Taco Fall. And then 2013, Darko Milicic, one of the biggest busts of all time.
Is he the biggest?
Anthony Bennett.
One of the biggest busts of all time, but I do got to give 99 to George Mikan, Hall of Famer, 4-time All-Star. You know the deal. He's the best 99 of all time.
Number 99 goes to the Hall of Famer, the first GOAT of basketball, George Mikan. He was a true pioneer for the sport. Without Mikan, I don't know where the NBA would be at now. He gained its popularity. He was the first true big man in the league. and he wore glasses on the court. So he was a little nerdy, but he did his thing, looking like Clark Kent. So shout out to the true pioneer of basketball in George Mikan.
Yeah, and one more thing I got to ask both of y'all. What nowadays, kind of like, who in the last 5 years, who's the biggest bust? Because I mean, other than Josh Jackson, that might be the only guy that's been a bust.
Josh Jackson's a good one. Let me think.
Jarrett Culver.
Markel,
has got to be up there.
Markel Fultz. But he's kind of like what we said earlier. He's an Andrew Bogut. For a number one pick, big bust. But for what he's done, he's had a very good NBA career. So I think I can compare it to Andrew Bogut, where good NBA career so far at least, but for the number one pick, he's a bust.
Yeah.
I still think I'm sticking with Jarrett Culver. Drafted top five, and he did absolutely nothing in the league.
He just got traded, I think a few days ago. And now he's been released, and maybe he got picked up by the G League team, but he's completely fallen.
Yeah, he completely fell off. But with all of that being said, I'm going to give everyone a big thank you all for tuning in to WVUA 90.7 and the Full Court Press Podcast. We'll be back next week with our Eastern Conference trade deadline dream scenarios. See y'all later.
Peace. WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.